Penguin Random House Audio presents On Freedom. This is the author, Timothy Snyder. For those who wish to be free. Preface. "What do you think?" asked Maria, smiling in her bright dress, as I ducked under the doorframe of her orderly little hut and stepped back into the sunshine and the rubble. "Everything as it should be?" It was. Her rugs and blankets, laid out in nice rectilineal patterns, recalled Ukrainian futurist art. The cords leading to her generator were tidily arranged, and water bottles were near at hand. A thick book lay open on her bed. Outside her metal domicile, a temporary dwelling provided by an international organization, woolen sweaters were drying on a line. A pretty wooden drawer, lined in felt, rested on a bench, like an open Pandora's box. When I complimented her on it, Maria offered the drawer to me as a gift. It was a lonely relic of her house, just in front of us, a ruin after bombs and shells. She looked up nervously at a passing plane. "Everything happened," she sighed, "and none of it was necessary." Like every house in the village, Maria's was destroyed during the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Osad Pokrovske, in the far south of the country, was at the edge of the Russian advance. It rests among fields of sunflowers in this fertile region. The Ukrainian army pushed the Russians out of artillery range in late 2022, making it safe to return or to visit, as I am doing now, in September 2023. Taking a seat on the bench and listening to Maria, I think about freedom. The village, one would say, has been liberated. Are its people free? To be sure, something terrible has been removed from Maria's life. The daily threat of violent death, an occupation by torturers and murderers. But is that, even that, liberation? Maria is 85 years old and living alone. Now that she has her neat little residence, she is certainly freer than she was when she was homeless. That is because family and volunteers came to help. And because a government has acted, one to which she feels connected by her vote. Maria does not complain of her own fate. She cries when she speaks of the difficult challenges faced by her president. The Ukrainian word deoccupation, which she and I are using in conversation, is more precise than the conventional liberation. It invites us to consider what, beyond the removal of oppression, we might need for liberty. It takes work, after all, to get one older woman into a position where she can greet guests and perform the normal interactions of a dignified person. I have trouble imagining Maria being truly free, without a proper house with a chair, and without a clear path to the road for her walker. Freedom is not just an absence of evil, but a presence of good. Southern Ukraine is steppe. Northern Ukraine is forest. Visiting a deoccupied town in the north of the country, I had similar thoughts about freedom. Having dropped off my children at friendly schools in New Haven, Connecticut, I made the journey to an abandoned school building in Yahidne, which Russian occupiers had transformed into a small concentration camp. For most of the time that the village was occupied, the Russians had packed 350 civilians, its entire population, into the school basement, an area of less than 200 square meters. 70 of the villagers were children, the youngest an infant. Yahidne was deoccupied in April 2022, and I visited that September. On the ground floor, Russian soldiers had destroyed the furniture. On the walls, they left behind dehumanizing graffiti about Ukrainians. There was no electricity. By the light of my phone, I made my way down to the cellar and examined the children's drawings on its walls. I could read what they had written: "No to war." My children later helped me identify the characters, such as an imposter from the game Among Us. By a doorframe were two lists, written in chalk, of the names of the perished. On one side, those executed by the Russians, of whom, as best I could tell, there were 17. On the other, those who died from exhaustion or illness, of whom, best as I could tell, there were 10. By the time I arrived in Yahidne, the survivors were no longer in the cellar, Were they free? A liberation suggests a woe that has dissipated. But the adults need support and the children a new school. It is so very important that the town is no longer occupied. But it would be wrong to end the story of Yahidne when the survivors emerged from underground, just as it would be wrong to end the story of Posad Pokrovske when the bombing stopped. The gentleman entrusted with the key to the Yahidne school asked for help to build a playground. It might seem like a strange desire amid a war of destruction. Russians kill children with missiles and kidnap them for assimilation. But the absence of these crimes is not enough. Deoccupation is not enough. Children need places to play, run, and swim to practice being themselves. A child cannot create a park or a swimming pool. The joy of youth is to discover such things in the world. It takes collective work to build structures of freedom for the young as for the old. I came to Ukraine during the war while writing this book about freedom. Here, its subject is palpable all around. A month after Russia invaded Ukraine, I spoke with some Ukrainian lawmakers. We chose freedom when we did not run. We are fighting for freedom. Freedom itself is the choice. It was not just the politicians. Talking in wartime Ukraine to soldiers, to widows and farmers, to activists and journalists, I heard the word freedom over and over. It was interesting how they used it. With much of their country under genocidal occupation, Ukrainians would seem to have good reason to speak of freedom as a liberation from, as an absence of evil. No one did. When asked what they meant by freedom, not a single person with whom I spoke specified freedom from the Russians. One Ukrainian told me, "When we say freedom, we do not mean freedom from something." Another defined victory as being for something, not against something. The occupiers had gotten in the way of a sense that the world was opening up, that the next generation would have a better life, that decisions made now would matter in years to come. It was essential to remove repression, to gain what philosophers call negative freedom. But deoccupation, the removal of harm, was just a necessary condition for freedom, not the thing itself. A soldier and a rehabilitation center told me that freedom was about everyone having a chance to fulfill their own purposes after the war. A veteran awaiting a prosthesis said that freedom would be a smile on his son's face. A young soldier on leave said that freedom was about the children he would like to have. Their commander, in his hidden staff room, Valery Zaluzhny, told me that freedom meant a normal life with prospects. Freedom was a future when some things were the same and others were better. It was life expanding and growing. In this book, I aim to define freedom. The task begins with rescuing the word from overuse and abuse. I worry that, in my own country, the United States, we speak of freedom without considering what it is. Americans often have in mind the absence of something. Occupation, oppression, or even government. An individual is free, we think, when the government is out of the way. Negative freedom is our common sense. To be sure, it is tempting to think of liberty as us against the world, which the notion of negative freedom allows us to do. If the barriers are the only problem, then all must be right with us. That makes us feel good. We think that we would be free if not for a world outside that does us wrong. But is the removal of something in the world really enough to liberate us? Is it not as important, perhaps even more important, to add things? If we want to be free, we will have to affirm, not just deny. Sometimes we will have to destroy, but more often we will need to create. Most often, we will need to adapt both the world and ourselves on the basis of what we know and value. We need structures, just the right ones, moral as well as political. Virtue is an inseparable part of freedom. "Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage," said the poet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?